Good evening. We're continuing our series, The Way of the Righteous, Orchot Tzadikim. Last week, we spoke about cruelty, and we concluded that. And today we start with a new topic. It's called Simcha, happiness. As we all know, today, especially today, maybe perhaps more than ever before, everyone speaks about the necessity of being happy. Besimcha, besimcha. Among Judaism, from time to time, you have all kinds of groups or cults, I don't know how to call it, that pops up, and they emphasize the concept of being happy, simcha, simcha, simcha. No one can predict that, that it's very important that the Jew will always be in simcha and in happiness. Very important when you follow the way of Hashem that you constantly be happy. Not necessarily everything they say it's true, because sometimes they say that you should be even happy when you make a sin, which is definitely not true. A person should not be happy when he makes sins. And when a person made a sin, if you ever read in one of those groups, books, that if it happened, it means Hashem wanted it. Please don't believe this nonsense. It's kfira. It's against the Torah. A person has a free will and he chooses what to do. Very rarely Hashem interferes with the person's free choice. Very rarely. Usually Hashem does it to kings, prime ministers, presidents, people that are supervising a large group of other people, like a nation, in the army, in different places. But ordinary people, they have free will, free choice to do whatever they choose to do. And eventually, they have to deal with the consequences of their action. When they chose good, they'll be rewarded. And when they choose bad, they'll be punished. And they have to deal with the new reality that is created after they committed an action where they did something good. It changed the future. It changed the situation. It changed their status in heaven. It changed Hashem's opinion on them. Maybe yesterday it was wicked and now it became righteous, what we call Baal Tshuva. Like the Rambam say, yesterday was hated and today is loved and welcomed. So we see that the status of a person is changing based on his action. When he does good, he improves his situation, his future, his path, and his next world, everything is going to be influenced positively. When he does bad, against the rules of Hashem and the Torah, it doesn't mean Hashem would lock his hand that he won't be able to do bad. He will get the permission to do whatever he chooses. When it's bad, it's bad. And later, he's going to have to deal with the consequences, what he lost, the punishments, the new reality that has been created, his studies, Hashem's opinion on him, his next world, and so forth and so on. But definitely, when a person just went and stole something, and he said, well, brother, now when you did it, it means Hashem wanted it, don't be depressed, you have to stay happy, that's total nonsense. That's way against the Torah, against the principle, against everything. When you did something bad, it means Hashem did not want it. But he did not hold you and did not force you not to do bad. However, when you're about to do something bad, that's going to influence another person. That's now a whole different story now. It's not only your consequences and your reward or your punishment. Now it's someone else's life going to be affected. Here, there is a higher chance that Hashem will interfere with your action. Meaning, if you wanted to shoot someone and kill him, and Hashem wants him alive, it will make you miss, or that the gun will not work, or the police will pass by, or this person will bend down in the last minute. So there are many, many ways to get saved. Why? Because Hashem doesn't want him dead for X amount of years. Therefore, you won't succeed. But if it's something that can be fixed, for instance, you steal from him. He doesn't deserve to lose. He's a righteous person. He's honest. He doesn't steal. He doesn't collect interest. He gives all the credit to Hashem for all the parnasah and the living that he makes. And you chose to steal, you chose, your choice right now is to steal from him. You saw that he has a lot of money in his pocket. The pocket is hanging in the mikveh, his pants. And you went and stole money from his pocket, even though he doesn't deserve it. What happened? The $200-$300 you stole from his pocket, Hashem always owes him this money. He won't go from his annual budget. Why? Because you only lose money when you committed a sin, when you deserve to lose money. Nobody can lose a penny if it's clean. So if you lose, that means it's a temporary loss. It could be used as a test. I'm testing you to see how you react. We saw in the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan was learning with Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish was a Baal Tshuva, he used to be a gangster. And now he became a very important Chacham. And one day Rabbi Yochanan came to the yeshiva and he could not focus. Usually it was like a shark, brilliant. The brain was very sharp. So he asked him, what happened to you, Rabbi? Today you cannot focus. So he said to him, on my way here I was mugged. Few guys on a gangster on the street, they robbed me. They took my wallet. So some people that don't understand the way the concept of the Gemara works, they think that he was upset because he lost some money. It's nonsense. People in this level, the Tanaim HaKadoshim, the last thing they worry about if they lose money, because they know Parnasai comes from Hashem. He was upset that if I lost money, it means I did something wrong. Maybe I myself took something that it's not mine. Maybe I failed in charging interest from a Jew and I wasn't supposed to. Maybe I did not have enough emunah that Hashem made me lose money. Maybe I caused the damage to another Jew by saying something. It means that I did something wrong. Otherwise, why would Hashem send me this gangster? So Rish Lakish told him, give me 5 minutes. He went out to the street. Remember, he used to be himself a gangster. He found his friends from the old days, and he threatened them that if the wallet won't come back, they're going to have a business with him. And a minute later, the wallet was right back, and he gave it to him and said, here is your wallet. And Rabbi Yochanan went back to learn just like normal. What do we see from here? When he realized that it was all a test, it wasn't really a punishment, he relaxed. As long as he thought that he's getting punished for something, the level of fear from not committing sins was so high, so they were very, very worried. Whenever something bad happened to them, immediately they began to investigate, what have I done wrong? Not like today. Most people today, not only they don't check anything in their past or what they are doing when they get punished, when something bad happened to them, when a rabbi or a speaker or a friend will tell them, check your actions. Maybe you did something that Hashem is angry at you, they get very angry. Today you must be politically correct faker. You cannot tell the people the truth. You cannot tell a person that is sick or a person that is in a hospital or a person that lost money or had an accident or God forbid got cancer. You cannot come to him and speak to him man to man and say to him, hey buddy, maybe you should check some of the things that you do. Maybe Hashem is very upset with you and he gave you this punishment. If you tell him that, he will be very angry at you. If you say it in a speech, right away half of the public will become your enemies. Why? Who told you to speak for Hashem? Who do you think you are? You're a prophet? What do you know? But they don't understand that when a person speaks like that, he doesn't claim that he knows. No one knows why Hashem does what he does. But a person knows the concept. The concept is written. You don't need to be a genius to know it. That when Hashem punishes a person, there must be a reason for it. When a person is sick, has to be a reason. When he loses money, has to be a reason. When he's single for a long time, it must be a reason. All these things that happen to people and make them upset and sad, it has to be a reason. If it's not from this life, it's from previous life, or the one before, or the one before. But it's definitely started somewhere in your choices, the choices that you made. And if people do not understand this concept of midah keneged midah, it's like a building that has 4 poles and one of them is broken. Any minute this building will collapse completely. Because you don't understand the concept, the way Hashem supervises and manage and maintain the creation. It's written in the Talmud how it works. It's always measure for measure, always. If you don't see it right now, you may take a few years until you realize the measure for measure. But it has to be measure for measure. You understand? And meaning what you have done, for good or for bad, that's the way Hashem will react to you. Why? To hint to you, that's why I'm responding to this or to that. This is the way it works. Particularly, we cannot say why this person lost 200 and the other one lost 1,000. We don't know. What we do know is paying for something. Or it's a test, like with the story of Rabbi Yochanan. If the money will come back, then you know it was all a test. Someone chose to hurt him. Someone made a damage to his property. He is innocent. The person made a choice. Hashem does not interfere with his choice. Later he will punish him for that. And the person who is a victim now is victimized by the choice of a wicked person. Hashem will make it up to him sooner or later. This is the way this concept works. So if a person made a sin, don't buy this nonsense of some of the fools and even some speakers that say, oh, now when it happened, it means Hashem wanted it. Maybe what they mean is that Hashem approved it, not that he's happy from it. Many times your son come to you, son come to his father, I want money. Why? I want to go on a trip with my friends. The father is not happy. He doesn't want him to go on a trip. He's not happy at all from where he goes. But he keeps crying, I want it, please. He's making a whole show. Father say, here, take. Doesn't mean the father wanted him to go. Understand? So not everything that we do, it means Hashem is happy from it. As a matter of fact, in this generation, if we check carefully with honest eyes, most of the things we do, Hashem is very upset with us. He's not happy from what we do. He doesn't happy from the level of our learning. He's not happy from the level of our modesty. He's not happy from our ideology. He's not happy that we sell our soul to the devil and to the Satan, and we're going to kill for money, and it's all day Lashon Hara and competition and putting other people down and massive Lashon Hara in the internet. He's not happy by the way the women dress. He's not happy by many, many of the things that we do. If we will teach the new generation that everything is good and all Jews are righteous and Hashem is happy, unfortunately, when the truth will be revealed to them, it will be an explosion in their face. It will be too late by now because they live in illusion. Why the kids lived in illusion, especially here in America, it's very common, because their parents raised them to think that the whole world is their servants. Everyone is here to serve them. And we are always going to do whatever you want. Just snap and we run. And we will do it for you. They don't clean after themselves. They don't appreciate anything. No matter how much you give them, they always complain. That's the way the situation is. And when people commit sins, leave them alone. It's already good that they do that. Don't be too fanatic. This American approach is a disaster. It's a disaster. We're already paying a massive price for it. Very, very big price. And it's already expanding all over now. It's already now in Israel in some places. The only places that this ideology did not penetrate yet is the real strong kosher yeshivot. Over there, you can still find the truth here and there. But in the street, Hashem Yerachem to the situation. God have mercy on us to the situation we live in. And if you don't want to agree with that and you don't want to recognize it, it's up to you. You want to live in a lie? You want to live in illusion? It will be very, very sad and very painful when you one day find out that all your life was all a show and all fake. And you thought that you're religious, but you are not. You thought you're righteous, but you are very wicked. And you thought that you're generous, but you're very stingy. And you thought you're learning a lot, but you did not learn almost at all. And you thought that you're very modest, but now one day in your life you were modest, and you thought you're a great parent, and in the end you destroyed your kids, and you spoiled them, and you gave them too much, and you made them not unable to become religious. That's it. And then one day you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to stand in front of Hashem, and they analyze your life, and you're going to have a big, huge sack full of sins, full of tragedies, full of horrible things that happen in the world because of you. And what are you going to do? Then maybe you will remember some of these words that I say here now. Because a lot of the people, many people, not only they don't care what I say, they do everything they can to destroy it. They cannot handle the truth. So for them, the way to handle it is to make sure that they prove that everything I will say, it's incorrect. even though they know, I read it from the books and from the Gemara and from the Shulchan Aruch and from the Rambam and from the Zohar and from the Chumash. They know. They went to yeshiva for a few years, no? So they know it's simple things. It's not. We're not talking about material stuff, genius stuff here. We're learning, most of what we learn is basic things. Not learning in the highest level like in yeshivot. We learn the concept, we learn the basics, and they know the basics, and for whatever reason, they do everything they can to deny and modify the truth and tell people you're all good, you have nothing to worry about. It's very sad. They basically literally destroying Judaism. And Hashem will never ever forgive people that destroy his truth and modify it and force it on the next generation that they will try to be righteous, but they won't be able to. Why? Because some rotten speakers decided to reinvent the Torah according to their understanding and according to being politically correct and being politician and trying to find favors in the eyes of the wicked people and try to make everything easy for everyone that they won't be upset, right? We're afraid to turn them off. How many times you heard this nonsense? We're afraid to turn them off. The truth of Hashem can turn off a person. If a person is turned off by the truth of Hashem, that's not your problem, it's his problem. The truth of, when Hashem published his truth, did he know all the people that would ever live in on earth from day one until the last day? Did he know everyone? Did he know their mentality? Did he know their test? Did he know their childhood, where they're going to be born, who their parents are going to be, what school they're going to go, what kind of character they will have, who they used to be in the previous lives? Hashem knew everything. After analyzing all the people that will ever be born, he still wrote it in his Torah. You want to be more smarter than Hashem? Hashem said everyone must know it. Everyone must know the end of the Mechalel Shabbat. Everyone must know the end of a woman who walks in the street, not modest, and make thousands of men commit sins with their eyes every day and with actions. Hashem wanted everyone to know it. But today people think they know better than Hashem. Somehow they're reinventing Judaism. This is a very big danger. It's a very big danger to our existence. Because if we will continue in a path of all these rotten ideology teachers, How many more years do you think Judaism will be able to survive? So you're going to have Judaism only in few yeshivot in the world and the rest of the world will become a zoo. Everything will be a mess. No one will know anything. People will try to follow the truth. They will never have the truth because all they hear is nonsense. All they hear is all kinds of baloney. So what if your wife doesn't want to go to the mikveh? She's not ready. Leave her alone. No big deal. So what if he's Mechalel Shabbat? You don't know his childhood. You don't know where he came from. So what if he's a big criminal? So what if he robbed banks? Do you know how much abuse he had when he was a kid? Almost every kid was abused here and there. But not everyone becomes a criminal, and not everyone becomes a murderer, and not everyone becomes a drug addict. We live the way we grew up was much, much harder than the way the American kids grow up here. We couldn't even afford cheese, yellow cheese, mozzarella cheese, once a year, or cold cuts. We had dry bread and very cheap cheese, smear cheese, and olives once in a while, eggs. That was the breakfast. Who could ever afford a donut? Who? Could we buy the sneakers that every other American kid had six pairs in his pocket, $200 each? Who had smartphones? Who had computers? Who had anything? If few kids from the neighbor wanted to buy a Game Boy, a computer game, you know how many months they had to save shekel by shekel and sometimes buying it in partnership, few neighbors from the building, and every cassette we used to buy, we didn't have money, so we were few partners, 1 week by me, 1 week by you. This is how we grew up. And not to talk about abuse and problems and who knows what else, and the kind of teacher we had. Well, if you want to be good, you can be good. If you want to be bad, you'll be bad. Finding excuses and justifying every criminal just because he had a hard childhood, that's also very dangerous. And it's becoming more and more common now. Almost everything has been justified today. Your kid is off the derech, don't worry. Let him come with his Goya girlfriend to your basement. Don't tell him what to do. Don't say anything when he breaks Shabbat. Don't say anything when he cook in your toaster cheeseburger. If he wants hamburger, please go to the 7-Eleven and buy it for him. There are people that speak like that. They call themselves rabbis in Brooklyn. That's what they teach, a new way of education. Let your kid have everything he wants. He wants his drugs, go buy it for him. Give him money, give him everything. He wants computer, he wants this, he wants dirty stuff on his computer, don't say anything. Just give him love. They found a new way. Give him love, make him happy. And this is the topic after this introduction, this is the topic here tonight. The topic, as I started to explain, is simcha, happiness. Many people mix between real happiness and fake happiness. I'll give you an example. If you come to a wedding by 11:30 at night, after everyone filled their head with gasoline, and everyone is in a good mood, and people standing on the tables and on the chairs, breaking plates and dancing and hugging everyone and kissing everyone, because they took all kinds of, you know, chemicals and alcohol and whatever you want to call it. And it looks like everyone is in heaven. Wow, look what happiness. Hundreds of people jumping, screaming, all kinds of music from Zimbabwe, jumping like they are in a jungle on the trees. It looks like, wow. Then you come to another place. People are like this, you know, reading books, very serious. So if someone asks you now, tell me, who's happy and who's sad? All the fools would say, in a party, everyone was happy. And over there, in a place there, in yeshiva, people look very serious, very concerned. Reality-wise, what's the truth? Reality-wise, it's called totally opposite. But that's the way the ordinary person misunderstand what does it mean to be happy. Now today we're going to analyze it deeply. First, you will see in this chapter in Orchot Tzadikim something very interesting. The entire chapter speaking about simcha, happiness, is speaking about one concept. Who can tell me, before we going through it, who can tell me, according to your understanding, if you have to put in a formula, happiness equal question mark, what would you put in a question mark? Give me a phrase, sentence, a word. Happiness equal what? What is the main thing that makes a person happy in his life? Purpose, it's a tricky word because there's one purpose that is the truth and many other purposes that are fake. Technically, even if a person has a fake purpose, right, and is going to the opposite direction from what Hashem wants him, it's also a purpose. That's definitely not going to make him happy in the long run because it's a fake purpose. So it wouldn't be exact to say purpose. Happiness equal what? Who knows? I have a feeling it's my key. I think so. So what do you say? No? What's happiness equal what? Let me help you. In the entire chapter here, chapter 9 of Orchot Tzadikim, who's speaking about simcha, happiness, he speaks about one thing, confidence in Hashem. That's what simcha is. Without it, you can never be happy. Confidence in Hashem. What does it mean, confidence in Hashem, in simple English? How confidence in Hashem equal question mark? What's the question mark? What does it mean, confidence in Hashem? Huh? The answer is, we do not worry about anything that has to do with the future. I elevated myself to a level that from now on, once I reach that level, I don't know what it means to be worried. Deaga minayin. There's no such thing, deaga. No worry. When you're gonna get married, it's not my problem. It's Hashem's problem. When you're gonna be rich, it's not my problem. Hashem runs the world. When you're gonna marry your children, it's not my problem. When you're gonna be a big rabbi, it's not my problem. My problem is to learn nonstop and give my best. The rest is not my problem. Will you get the apartment that you're dreaming about? If Hashem wants, fine. If not, I'll live with that. No problem. I'm never, ever worried about anything. I try to do what's right, and I leave the rest to Hashem. That's called confidence in Hashem. Now, many, many people, I'm talking religious people, they claim and they praise themselves a lot that they have confidence in Hashem. In reality, most of them live in a dream, or just liars. Which one of the two you choose? Probably living in a dream. When you come to a religious person and ask him, do you believe in Hashem? Do you believe in Hashem? So of course. Do you believe everything is from Hashem? Of course. Once one rabbi went into the yeshiva, he asked them a question. Everyone here know there is Hashem? All the avrichim in the yeshiva, they looked at him like, what? You're not in kindergarten here. This is yeshiva of adults here. Why are you asking such a question? Does anyone who doesn't believe in Hashem? Of course, everyone believes in Hashem. Everyone knows Hashem runs the world? Yes. Now one person denied it. The third question was, does anyone here that his wife does not get him angry at least one day a week? Now one person raised his hand. Meaning all the avrechim in the yeshiva, after 20 years of learning Torah at least, each one of them, all of them admitted that every day their wives drives them crazy, or get them angry, or get them upset, or get them disappointed. So here you go. There's a problem with the confidence in Hashem. Your boss gets you upset. Confidence in Hashem. Your children, confidence in Hashem. Your partner, confidence. Your supplier, the government, the president, the Israeli army. It's all confidence in Hashem issues. We're going to understand that. So many people live in illusion that they have confidence in Hashem. If you want to know if you have confidence in Hashem, how are you going to examine yourself? How? I'm sure you believe in Hashem. I'm sure when you make a lot of money, you say thank you to Hashem. Thank you, God. I appreciate it. You've been so kind to me. Thank you for making me succeed. Thank you for giving me this deal. Thank you for sending more customers. Thank you for giving me this inheritance. Right? We all say thank you to Hashem for a lot of good things we get. Does that mean that we have confidence in Hashem? No. We have faith in Hashem. We know it's from Him. We know He runs the world. Yes. But we don't have confidence in Hashem. Do you know what it means, confidence in Hashem? Confidence in Hashem means you don't have any fear. You never fear the future. You live in full, pleasant, comfortable feeling. You have money, good. You don't have no problem. You have kids, fine. You don't have kids, fine. Everything I have or do not have, there is a boss who decides, and I'm very happy with his decision. As long as I do what I have to do, the rest is not in my hand. That's called confidence in Hashem. Meaning, 2 days before the end of the month, you have to raise $3,000 for rent, and you don't have a penny. Just got a message now from someone. I can play you the message if you want. The message is, Mamash, before I walked in, Mamash here, I listened to it a minute before the lecture started. Rabbi, you know I'm always broke. I know this person for 10 years or more. You know my situation. I'm always broke. I have a situation. I have 2 children to send to camp. It's in Canada, so it's much cheaper than here. $675 each kid for camp, you know? So, and I don't have the money, and my wife already filling up the applications, and I don't know how to tell her that I don't have the money. Please pray for me. He never asked for money. He's a shy guy. But he prayed for me. Now he knows, how can I pray for him and not try to help him? You understand? But he doesn't have. He walks, he tries, he learns. Sometimes he gets the money, sometimes not. But always happy, that person. Always happy. Always ishtabach shemo, always Baruch Hashem. One time they evicted him from his home. Baruch Hashem, always happy. There's one guy in Muncie, you never saw in your life such thing. I don't get to meet so many people that suffer like this guy. Divorce, has one son, is not normal. The son has problems with his head. He lost a lot of money. He owed more than $100,000 to people. He doesn't have a place to live. At one point, he had the old truck. He slept the entire winter in a truck. I don't have to tell you how it means to live in a truck. Now, once ever in your life, you're going to meet this person without him having the biggest smile and laugh and always being funny about everything. You cannot believe such thing. Most Americans in this situation will kill themselves a long, long time ago. And him, keep enjoying the moment. There is food, good. There is rent, a place to rent, good. There's none, same thing. You see millionaires coming to the shul, Tisha B'Av face. You know Tisha B'Av face? Face of Tisha B'Av. Three quarter laughing, a quarter is still working, functioning. Most of the face is about to cry. Why? Maybe they lost $5,000 yesterday. Then they have millions. They're upset now about the ticket they got. Someone sent me a picture today from Israel, from his office. He wanted to show me that he put a big screen and my lectures in his office all day for the customers who come in, so they hear it on the lobby. So he said, I'm sorry, my partner's face is so sad in a picture. I didn't even pay attention to his partner. Then he wrote, he just got a ticket a minute before the picture. He got a parking ticket. How much is a parking ticket? $100. Already wiped out his whole happiness. You know? The level of the people is happiness in their eyes. I make money or I don't. I am in love or not. I found someone to love or not. I have kids or not. I'm healthy or not. As long as everything works, no. By the way, many people, even if everything works, they're still depressed. That's also a very common problem. Let's see some of the things he say about simcha. Let's see. Asimcha amida zot ba'al ha'adam michamat rov shalva belibo bli pegara. Translation, happiness. This trait comes to a human being as results of peace of mind, shalva. You know shalva? Try to imagine someone laying in his yacht, middle of the ocean, alone. He just made a big deal, tens of millions of dollars. He's relaxed, he paid all his bills, he married all his children. He finished with all the burdens he had. Now he wants to take 2 months off from life. And he lays there like this and relaxed with good music, drinking something that he likes, and he's very, very peaceful now. Okay, that can happen here and there in your life. But a real believer should feel like that every second of his life, all the time. Not just here and there on vacation. Most people, even on vacation, they cannot have a peace of mind. They're still with the phone, still calling the office, still worry. You understand? I know one rich guy that he goes at least twice a year on vacation with his wife and family. And he always hates the vacations, always suffers. I ask him why. He said, because I'm thinking how much money I lose every day when I don't work. He makes thousands of dollars every day, lots of money. Multiply by a week or 10 days, $30,000, $40,000 he loses. So as a result of losing so much money for not working, he cannot enjoy the vacation. So I say to him a few times, you don't understand, the parnasa doesn't come from work. Your annual income is decided on Rosh Hashanah, whether you're going to work, whether not, whether you're going to work part-time. It's all about a matter of confidence in Hashem. It's not as a result of how many hours you work. So the fact that you take 10 days off to make your wife and children happy and take them to a place they want to go, or to Israel or somewhere else, as long as it's kosher places, it does not take a penny from your annual income. A penny doesn't take. Get it to your head. It works for a day or two or a week. By the next vacation, I have to give him the whole speech again. Why? He can't enjoy. Why? He's thinking, by not going to work, today I lose $100. Today I lose $500. That's how people think. If you close the store another day, wow, we're losing a day. We're losing 2 days this month, too many holidays this month. We have to close a lot. We're going to lose a lot of income. It's all baloney. That's not how it works. Well, Hashem's problem is he cannot send you customers in the days you open. He needs you to open 26 days a month. 24 days, he won't be able to send you the same income. It's shtuyot. But this is the way ignorant people think. So, shalva. Shalva belibo. You have a peace of mind. You're not worrying your heart in anything. Adam ha-mesik ta'avato ve'lo ye'era lo davar ha-ma'atziv oto ba'ze yesameach tamid. If a person has a desire, he lives his life dreaming about achieving this desire. And finally, he did achieve it. He finally got it. He got what he wanted. He was dreaming about his car since he's a teenager. Finally, he saved enough and he got the car. Now he has a peace of mind. He doesn't have to worry anymore, because the last 4 years, all his mind was worried about is about getting the car. When he finally has the car, he's beginning to relax. Ve'yayiru panav. וזיבו מביק, his face is lighting up. וגופו בריא, it affects his health. When you don't have stress, when you're not worried about achieving all kinds of things that you don't have, it affects your health. You become healthier and stronger, your immune system works better. ואין זקנה ממהרת לבוא עליו. When you have a peace of mind, you're not getting old fast. Sometimes you see people 70, they look like 50. Sometimes you see people 50 look like 70. So it's very interesting. Why is it? It depends on the amount of stress and fear that they constantly bear every day of their life. It's written in Mishlei, Proverbs, Mishlei 17, verse 22. Lev sameach yetiv geah. Happy heart will improve the situation of a person. Umina simcha yavos chok la'adam. From happiness, a person smile and laugh a lot. Right? And it's not proper for an educated person to laugh too much. If a person laughs too much, all day, you know, these people all day laugh, jokes. Even when they come to a funeral, they make jokes. It's a way of habit. It's a habit. They must make out of everything a joke. Has to laugh nonstop. Everything, laughing, laughing, laughing. Being very silly. Obviously, nobody takes them serious. Nobody will take people like this serious. Ki im haschok mishtatefet da'at kala. When a person is laughing about everything, it shows that he's lightheaded, meaning in simple English that his head is empty from any wisdom. A wise person doesn't laugh nonstop. There's time for everything in life. As it's written in Kohelet, King Solomon, Ki kechol asirim tachat asir ken schok haksil. You know that when you put the balls that you cook in, one on top of the other, so the ones from the bottom, when you put one on top of them, they make noise. That's how silly people who laugh non-stop, that's how their noise, non-stop noise that they make all the time. And it's also written, the King Solomon gave a sign, the smartest person ever lived, he gave a sign for the fools, how you detect a fool. How you detect a fool. You don't know him, you just met him. You come to a place and there's a fool there. How do you know right away who's a fool and who's not? One of the examples is laughing when it's not proper to laugh. Everyone now is serious, he laughs. It's an important business meeting, every little thing he laughs. Shiur Torah, every 2 minutes he laughs. That's a sign of stupidity, of a person that is really a fool. When everyone mourns, he comes, he doesn't know what to say, he says a joke. People just lost their deer, they sit on the floor, you tell them a joke. Why is it? His head is empty. So constantly, all the time, jokes, nonstop. There are many other examples how you detect a fool. I spoke about it in a few years ago in lectures. How you know by his body language, by the way a person walks, by the way he stands, by the way he moves. There's ways to know. Mi sheraf schoko mitma'et mora'o. Person that laughs a lot and jokes a lot, it affects his irat shamayim. His fear from Hashem is constantly going lower and lower. Lower and lower. If he's serious, he has no irat shamayim. If he's a joker, he has no irat shamayim. Check by the teenager, you see right away. Same thing in yeshiva. There's always one or two or three clowns. They usually do the worst in their marks. They don't learn serious. They want attention all the time. They disturb the class. And they need to leave of Ritalin. Otherwise, they kick them out. They won't be able to. When a person is busy with laughing all the time, he has no time to accept any rebuke and to improve his irat shamayim. That's why a person has to control himself, not to laugh too much. Buy yourself a rabbi, literally buy, meaning whatever his expenses, his yeshiva, his synagogue, whatever it's necessary and if you can afford to help, help. Why? Because when you help him, he will owe you a gratitude, hakarat hatov. And if he will owe you a gratitude, he will have to treat you much better than he treats strangers. Not because you're rich and the strangers are poor, like some people misinterpret that, no. Because to the stranger, he doesn't have any gratitude. He never helped the yeshiva, he never helped the synagogue, he never helped them personally. So he respects him just like he respects every other person. But if one of the people from the synagogue helps, takes care, needs a car, he gives a car, you need this, he gives that, he gives his home, he helps with a lot of things, you need Sefer Torah, he goes, he buys Sefer Torah. So that means the community depends on him. The community owes him a gratitude. When you owe someone a gratitude, you cannot treat him exactly like someone who did nothing for you. It's a mistake. Some people get angry. Why he gets special treatment? Because he's rich and he donates money? The answer, not because he's rich, because he donates money. He deserves a better treatment than you. He helps Mr. X or Rabbi X. Rabbi X owe him gratitude. If you won't give him a gratitude, if you will treat him like a stranger that walks in from the street, that means he has no hakarat hatov. He has no gratitude. If he's a person who cannot pay back gratitude to people that help him, he cannot be a rabbi. Cannot be a teacher. He has a very serious problem in his traits. A rabbi has to have decent traits. If it's a person that doesn't behave decent, he's not modest, he's greedy, he has a not clean mouth, he doesn't control his eyes, he offends people, things like that. Doesn't behave normal the way a rabbi should. What good is that he knows how to teach Torah here and there? So what? There's many people who knows how to teach. The people will learn from what he speak, or the people learn from how he behave. If he comes half an hour late every Shabbat to shul, and then he will give speeches how important is the prayers. What do you think the community will learn from? From him coming half an hour late, or from the beautiful speech about the importance of the prayers? If the people see that he always the first one coming, like Chacham Ben Zion was always the first. My cousin was a student, told me a few times he came second. Never after that, never. First, usually always, he had the key, opened the shul. And once in a blue moon, he came second. Maybe someone didn't know the time of the prayer, so he came 20 minutes earlier. So he came before him. But he made sure to be the first one. Not just to give speeches about tefillah, to show the people that the tefillah for him is the most important thing right now coming. For that I'm leaving. I won't miss it for a minute. I won't be a second late. And this is a very good example. You set up a personal example and people learn from you. So, "Binfol oivecha al tismach." There's another thing speaking about simcha. Many people, they get their happiness, or fake happiness, when they see other people collapse, especially if they hate them. You see someone that did something bad to him once, and he collapsed, all day is glowing. What happened? He's so in such a good mood. "Mr. Such and Such got what he deserved. I'm very happy today." Personal, talking personally. So that's the Torah said, "Binfol oivecha al tismach." Not only he committed a sin, now Hashem is angry and he punishes him. And now you becoming happy, that's another sin. Sin, punishment, followed by another sin, which will be followed by another punishment to you. Why are you happy? You should be upset that he did not do tshuva and Hashem did this to him. You should really be upset, not just in a speech. You should feel very bad. Why are you so sad? "My enemy died today." No, so you should be happy. Why are you upset? "No, I'm very sad. I would rather he make tshuva and he won't die." Why do you think Hashem is happy to take a person away from the world in a young age? Or to, chas v'shalom, make him lose all his money or something, tragedy in a family? The Satan is demanding and Hashem has no choice. It has to be a justice in the court of heaven. But I'm very unhappy that he was punished for me. One of the things that can prevent a person from going to his place in heaven if other Jews get punished because of him, as a result of him. So you shouldn't be happy about it. If you get happy about it, you actually make your situation worse. And there is another simcha that is even worse than that. We're talking now about fake happiness that unfortunately we all seek in it, some more, some less. There's another simcha that is even worse than that. Worse than being happy when your enemy collapses. When you are happy that your friend, someone you know, failed in his committing mitzvot. The way he did it was incorrect. Or he had a test about Torah test and he fell. Or, you know, he missed the time. Or he did not wake up for tefillah. Or things like that. So you're happy that you did it and someone else did not do it. That's very bad. Let's read it directly from the book. "Ve'od simcha ra'a mizot kmo ha'sameach she'chavero nichshal be'avodat ha'borei itbarach." When you see other people did not succeed in a mitzvah that would make Hashem happy, because he's jealous with them, he's happy that they did not have the chance to do the mitzvah correctly. Can you believe it? I'll give you an example. Today we have an epidemic in our society. There are a few epidemics. One of the epidemics, unfortunately, it's many kids go off the derech. Kids that grow up religious up to a certain age, and they don't want it anymore, and they leave it, and they go and become goyim. It's a common problem. So when a father has a son like that, that chose to be evil and wicked and follow the horrible lifestyle of the world, obviously it breaks his heart. If 2 or 3 days later, he finds out from his friend that he has a problem with his son, similar to what he has, there are two kinds of reaction. The righteous Jew, when he hears from his friend or from someone that he knows that his son is also off the derech, it breaks his heart, just as much as he broke his heart when he found out about his own son. Not only my son is like this, now the son of my friend is also off the derech. Poor Hashem, already 2 of his children he lost, not only one. That's a righteous person. Most people don't think like that, unfortunately. When they find out that there are many kids go off the derech, it gives them comfort. It's an epidemic. What can I do? It's not my fault. Baruch Hashem, I'm not the only one. Why are you happy? Why are you happy, you fool? Hashem lost a kid, which was your son. Now, a month later, he lost another one. Should be double upset. Why are you happy? If a person lost one kid, now he's going to lose another one. So the third brother will be happy? What kind of... It's very foolish. It can be from jealousy. It can be from disappointment of himself. And that's a very bad thing. Very bad thing that another person is failing in Avodat Hashem. One more way, which is very bad, when he sees people that fight against Hashem and against rabbis who teach the truth of the Torah, you should not stay cold and move on with your life. It should boil your blood. If you see people fight against someone who teach exactly what Hashem said, word by word, Torah, Gemara, Halacha, and all the clowns and the wicked people make fun and they fight and they write all kinds of lies in the internet, and it doesn't bother you, something is not right about you. You're not a lover of Hashem. People make a mockery out of the truth of God and it doesn't bother you? And you think you're righteous? Think again. You're very far from it. I'm not saying that there's always something to do. Sometimes you can protest, sometimes not. Fine. With clowns, most likely you can protest, but you talk to the wall. Sometimes it makes them even worse. They try to do even more because of their ego. But at least, does it bother you or not? Sometimes he's even happy. You see how they attacked him? Juicy stuff. People come with glowing face. Why are you so happy? You saw how this guy gave it to him. Why are you so happy? I don't get it, you fool. Why are you so happy? You should be very upset. People fight against Hashem Torah and you're happy? So, yesh leitztaer biroto anashim amordim beadono. That a person see people rebel against his master, meaning Hashem. Umecharfim oto. They actually curse. They make fun. They make jokes. They try to make religious people weak. That's all they have in their mind. To try to destroy the religion. Or to destroy the people that follow their religion. It bothers them very much that other people keeps and they don't. So they'll do everything to bring them down also. That should bother you very much. Yesh lo litztaer. You have to be in pain when you see such thing. ומחויב להוכיחם. You are obligated to rebuke them. You must, you cannot be quiet to them. Directly to their face. ולהודיע נבלותם. You have to tell them what a low life they are. נבל. You have to tell them in their face, without acting double face, without kissing up to them, without being politically correct, without being a faker, without being a politician. If there's one thing Hashem cannot stand, is fakers who consider themselves religious and all day they kissing up to the Reshaim and give them compliments. I promise you, there's nothing Hashem hates more than that. You don't want to fight with them, it's one thing. Rabbi, I'm a weak character, I'm not for war. If I fight with them, it makes me unable to function after that. I take it too much to the heart, I cannot walk anymore. No, I understand. It's a hard test for him. But to give them compliments, leave them alone, they're good, they don't know any better. There's a lot of excuses. I promise you, every wicked person you bring to me, I can be a very good lawyer for him and find many reasons why you should leave him alone. But none of them will be the truth. Excuses? Very convincing one. I also have. I can. I can give a lot of excuses. Some of them are even written in some other speakers' books. But what is the truth? Can we take the risk that this person will stand one day in front of Hashem and he will get away with all the things he did? Because we thought that leave him alone It's okay. Who say that you are Mande Amar? What, you the partner of God in the court of heaven? You're willing to take that risk? You're willing to take the risk on yourself that when you do things wrong, everything will be okay? So why are you willing to take a risk on them? Why? Many times you come to a place, a synagogue, and you come to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, please speak about people who come to the synagogue with the car on Shabbat. Right away, he feel uncomfortable. You know, and this, and it gives you all kinds of excuses. They don't know. What do you mean they don't know? So what are you here for? To teach them what Hashem said. What do you mean they don't know? So you're going to hide the truth from them forever? They're already in front of you. Speak about it. Teach them how horrible it is. There's no kedusha in coming to the synagogue driving a car. The sin that you make is a billion times worse than the mitzvah you do. So you invest $1 million to make a dollar. Is that a good investment? This is the opportunity now that when you're finally in front of you, tell them, we will make you a place to sleep. Go to a synagogue in your neighborhood. You don't have to come all the way here. Yeah, do something. Try at least. If you don't try, you don't succeed. So you have to rebuke them. Aval biyot ha'evet sameach, if the slave, the servant, is happy that someone spit in his master's face. The servant has a master. Another person came and spit in his face or threw something in his face. Right? Let me ask you a question. If the servant is running to protect him and he's crying and he cleans him up, and you see that he took it very hard to the heart, then you can sign that the servant loves his master. If the servant is sitting and looking and do nothing, or turn around and smile, and you saw it, what do you know about the servant? That he hates his master, right? Right or wrong? True or false? If he smiled behind his master's back when someone insulted him, or threw something in his face, and he smiled and he's happy about it with his friend, is that an indication he loves his master or hates his master? Hate, right? So if you see a religious Jew, even if you don't like him so much, fail in servicing Hashem Torah or doing the right thing, he failed. You should be happy or you should be very sad. If you're happy, that's a sign you yourself hate Hashem. Because it doesn't bother you that Hashem is upset from what you've just done. And if you said, and you tell other people, why are you so happy? Hashem is upset. No, he should hear it, he should have told him that, but there's machloket now, Hashem is upset. It bothers you very much. Then it's a sign you care about Hashem. Very simple common sense. It works by people. Needless to say that it works by Hashem. If your enemy is being abused and insulted and you're happy, then we know that he's your enemy. If someone upset Hashem, insult Hashem, make a mockery of Hashem's Torah and it doesn't bother you, or sometimes you even smile, or say, leave him alone, it's a free country, it's democracy, everyone is entitled to his opinion, all this baloney, that it's an indication that you don't love Hashem. אבל ביות העבד שמח בראות קלקול אדונו וחרפתו, אין זה עבד נאמן, רק חבר הוא לאיש משחית. You are a friend of the devil. By being happy that someone does something that makes Hashem upset and it doesn't upset you, don't dare to call yourself religious anymore. Enough with these fake titles. You can say maybe you're traditional a little bit. Maybe you're a robot that keeps some mitzvot. But your heart definitely is not with Hashem. You know what the Rambam say? If a person will have millions of followers and is not connected strong and attached to the truth of Hashem all the time, it's all nothing. What do you mean nothing? He has 50 million fans willing to die for him. It's nothing whatsoever. Dust in the wind. Mamash, nothing. If a person is attached to the truth and he has five followers, five, can count on one hand how many. They can fit all in one car. He comes to give a speech, five people showed up. He comes to give a shiur in yeshiva, two people showed up. He wrote a book, 50 people bought it only. And the wicked clown sold millions. What is it going to help him? The more people buy his book, the more he's going to be punished. Very simple. I know one like that. He became the rabbi of the goyim. Yes, the goyim love him very much. Not that there's anything wrong with the goyim, but it's very hard to find one kosher Jew that likes him. Only wicked Jews love him, and goyim that do not understand Torah. So they hear what he speaks about. He's in social media and here and there. So the goyim loves him very much. He even have a television show for the goyim. He even wrote about a book that put him in a ban. That was the final title on his name. That is not a kosher person, definitely not Orthodox, that even Chabad threw him out. And they have the biggest tolerance to every wicked person. And even they say to them, we don't want anything to do with you. No, Dweck wasn't in Chabad. You understand what I'm saying here? So what do you see? The amount of books you sell, or you want to be a politician, you want to be the mayor of your town, that doesn't make you anyone important. You can be the president of the United States and you are nothing in the eyes of Hashem. Use you as a puppet. Say this, do this, that's it. Anyway, you don't decide, Hashem decides. Look at Obama, it's a perfect example. Person like this, everything he thinks is the opposite of Hashem. Everything. Now, one time he thought the same way Hashem thinks in his Torah. Everything he ever said is against Hashem. Gay marriage against Hashem. Taking from the rich, forcing them to give to the poor who do nothing against Hashem. Going towards Iran and depriving Israel against Hashem. Antisemitism, he did nothing about it against Hashem. Gay marriage against Hashem. Many of the things. People who change their identity. They can use any bathroom they want against Hashem. And the army will pay for their surgery. The taxpayer have to pay for his sick mind that he decided to change his identity from male to female or female to male. Now we have to pay for his stiyah. You understand what's going on? This was Obama. Now we have a president who does a lot of foolish things, but at least his opinions is correct. The behaving is a different story, but the opinions, he speaks. Islam, terrorism, all kinds of things like this. That's much closer to the Torah. Not precisely, but it's much, much closer to the opinion of the Torah. Understand? Saying Obama, pro-abortion. Pro a lot of things that it's against the Torah. That's why I wonder to myself how an Orthodox Jew dare to vote in these days Democrats. Maybe in the time of Kennedy, he was a Democrat, but he was more Republican than Republicans today. But Democrats today, after 30, 40 years, it's a whole different story. Completely different story. They're all liberals, they're all anti-God, anti-religion. They always support everything Hashem hates. Everything. So how an Orthodox Jew will vote for them? Why? Because he's going to pay less taxes or he's going to get more benefits? This justified to go and make Hashem angry that you put your hand together with Ish Mashchit? Not to talk about the fact that they are usually much worse towards Israel. It's unbelievable. So that's what he's talking here about. Chaveru le'ish mashchit va'avono isa. You join the wicked, you kiss up to the wicked, you vote for the wicked, you donate to the wicked, you come to their lectures, you buy their books, you publish their speeches, you are a partner to the devil. And you're going to get the same punishment like this devil who speaks. Or the same one who wrote the non-kosher book. You support him, you're going to get punished for it. You're not going to get away with that. How many people gave millions of dollars to Obama? Jews. Each penny that they gave, they're going to be punished for. Each one. He released Iran from their horrible situation. He threatened the whole world. He put Israel down on their knees. The Jew. He supported gay marriage. He supported transvestite. He supported so many things that Hashem hates. Every one of these things, he will be tried when we die in front of Hashem. These liberal Jews will pay the price. Unless they will do very serious tshuva for that. If you ever, ever in your dream consider to vote for Democrats because one of the things that they will change will be for your pocket, please, Hashem is more important than your pocket. Better to be more poor and not promote the devil. You got to be very careful. Very, very careful. And I'm only talking about religion. I don't care about politics. Everything I mentioned to you is things from the Torah. Gay marriage against the Torah. All these things that they do, it's against the Torah. Changing your identity, changing your nature, it's against the Torah. Supporting Iran is against the Torah. Going against the Jews, it's against the Torah. Going against Israel, it's against the Torah. Giving Israel to the Palestinian faker, it's against the Torah. That's what they do. What did Obama do? That's exactly what he did. So every Jew that supported him and voted for him and gave him money, for all the things he did and his party that made Hashem angry, this Jew will pay for all of them from the beginning to the end. Imagine how many punishments. How many people give money to the politicians not because they believe in them, not because he can be a Republican and he give money to a Democrat or the other way around. I know one person like that. He gave money to Hillary Clinton and he hates Democrats. So they ask him, why are you doing it? He even organized a dinner for her. A religious guy from Muncie organized a dinner for her to collect money. People criticize him very much in the Orthodox community. So they asked him, why are you doing such thing? So you know what he said? He said, if she wins, everyone speak against her. Many of the Jews, rabbis, speakers. If she wins, at least she'll know one religious Jew was for her. It will ease her anger and revenge against the Jews. But he himself is also against her. But he wanted to have connection with her. Tomorrow, if she decides something against the community, he can go and say to her, come on, I supported you. Not everyone was against you. If it's true what he said, that's a reason. You understand? Some people, I'm going to give you as much as you want in one condition. When you become a president, change this law. I want to sell weapon with no restriction in all states. Make a federal law that it's legal. Change the court order. I don't, whatever. You're the president. You can do whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. How much you want? 50 million you get. When you become a president, change the law in the pharmacies. Change the health plan. Change this. Why? It's going to make trillions. All this pharmaceutical company, do you know how much money they make by investing on the right president? How many billionaires killing themselves the moment they found out Hillary lost? The Arabs, they put tons of money into her, the Saudis, all of them. In the end, it worked out beautiful for them. The one that they went against, Trump, because they're very afraid of him, became their best buddy ever, made an allied with them. Trump and the Saudis. But they put all their money on her. They went crazy. They told her, you have to return all the money when she lost. Her right-hand man was this Arab woman, Saudi from the family who sponsored September 11. What's her name? Uma. The wife of the Jewish liberal. I don't even want to say his name, whatever. All right, let's move on. חברו לאיש משחית ועוונו יישא. Avon means intentional sin, not mistaken. You support the evil, you're going to pay fully as you did it on purpose. והנה הכתוב אומר, רוצה השם את יראיו. מה זה רוצה? השם desire. What does he desire? את יראיו. Hashem desire those Jews who fear him. It doesn't really say Jews here. It can be goyim also. A goy that fear God, he loves God. Problem with the goyim, almost none of them know the truth. They don't have a book to follow. So if he's an Arab, he thinks Quran is the book of God. So he fear God, he follow Quran, and he go and kill people. That's not what God wants, to go and kill people just because they're not like you. But in his mind, the way they taught him since he's a kid, this is what he thinks. He thinks he's doing something good. Same thing by Christians, same thing by Hindus and Buddhists. Same thing, that they don't have the right guideline. Unless they listen to lectures of rabbis. There are some millions of goyim who listen to rabbis, you know that. There's a lot of people. I even have less listeners from more than 120 countries. Countries that you don't have one Jew living there. You know? There's goyim from all over the world who would find things on Google, on the internet. Like they say, accidentally. And then they begin to listen. You have to see some of the emails they sent. They're already giving me advice what lectures to give. I get from them, please speak about this, please speak about that. You understand? But you see how it's affecting goyim even. Totally, completely changing their personality, their lifestyle. Unbelievable. Sometimes you have to beg a Jew to keep Shabbat for years. And sometimes you have a goy out of nowhere. Out of nowhere in a country when there's Nigeria. Jamaica. What do you have with Judaism over there? All of a sudden, how do I keep Shabbat? How do I light candles? How do I do this? I don't eat pork anymore. Why? Listening to lecture, changing his lifestyle. Changing. Even the things that the goyim allowed to do, he doesn't want to do. Why? Some of them give a very logical explanation. So are you allowed to do it? Don't force on yourself things that you're allowed to do. Just don't do what you're not allowed to do as a Gentile. No, but if God hates it and he speaks against it so much to the Jews, that means he hates it. So why should I do something that God hates? So what if I'm allowed? But I don't want to do it. You understand what's going on here? No wonder they say in the Talmud, Olam Afuch. Everything here is the opposite of the truth. So it says here, Rotze Hashem et Yereav. Hashem desire those who fear him. Of course, also those who love him. It's written in another place, also those who love him. But those who fear him, Hashem desire them. Rotze. Rotze means I want. I want something. Rotze in Hebrew means I want. What does it mean, Hashem want me? There's Moshe and Yitzchak. Hashem wants Moshe and he does not want Yitzchak. What does it mean? How do you translate it? It means Moshe, he finds favor in his eyes and Yitzchak not. Or the other way around. Mi shesameach b'michshol en retzono kirtzon aboreit barach. If you find yourself ever happy that a Jew or even a non-Jew is doing something that you know it's against Hashem, and it makes you pleased, check yourself 100 times with a magnifying glass. You're not a fearful person from Hashem. You're not a tzaddik. En retzono ke retzon abore. Your will and Hashem's will is not the same. It's two different wills. Al ken itpalel Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. One of the greatest Tanaim, he prayed, it's in Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 28. Ali kashlu chaverai bidvar halacha ve'esmach ba'em. A Tana that was able to revive the dead body and bring the soul back into his body. That's how big he was. What was his prayers to Hashem? Please help me that my friends will never fail in following and keeping mitzvot, and I never, God forbid, will be happy about it. Somebody in his level asked Hashem, make sure I will never be happy when another person fell. Just like in a class, one person got 100 on a test, now he's anxious to hear what his friends got. If all his friends got 100, he's upset. I'm nothing special. So from the minute the teacher read his name and he got 100, from now on he reads Tehillim that all his friends will fail. Yitzhak, 40. Great. Moshe, 55. Yes. Avram, 25. Psh, amazing. Why are you so happy? I did the best. But why are you happy that all your friends are losers? You should be upset. You should be happy for yourself. You should be upset for your friends. If all of them fell in Torah, that means they did not learn Torah properly. That doesn't make Hashem happy. It's very interesting how people do not think about it. We can be all falling in this trap daily, and we don't stop for a second to analyze our action. Look at me. How can I be happy that another Jew did something that Hashem is upset about? How can it be? How? Something is not right about me. I gotta wake up. Maybe I bang my head to the wall. Wake up, shake my head. Something is not right here. Then maybe it's a screw missing. Something is not right here. You understand? One more thing. Every person, asher etzono retzon ha'elokim, that his will is the will of God, itztaer al kach, should be upset that the will of Hashem is not happening right now in the world. When he sees politicians declare war against the Torah and against religion and against the rabbis. You know, in England now, you're not going to believe it. There is a yeshiva called Vishnitz. Hasidim. They got a notice. If they won't start teaching about gay people positively, they will close their school. They'll declare them illegal facility. Now they're forcing yeshivot. That's the first time I hear about it. It happened today in England. If Vishnitz, which is ultra Hasidim, ultra Orthodox, they don't talk to their children about men and women, about intimacy until they're 18, 19, before they get married. They're very modest people, most of them. So definitely they won't speak about men and men or things like that. Parts like this, when it comes in the Torah, they skip. They don't teach in yeshiva, they skip. The teacher, don't read this Rashi, skip to here, skip to here. The kids don't even know about these things, they're so innocent. They want to force their rotten, wicked lifestyle and ideology onto the minority of the righteous people who are still left in the world. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you think the school's going to do? They will not surrender to them. You close the school, you close the school. But we're not going to teach your corruption and garbage and war against Hashem in our yeshivot. In the old days, even to teach math in English by the goyim, the big rabbis refused. And they closed Volozhin yeshiva. And the people from Volozhin went and opened 10 different yeshivot. And then they canceled the decree of Volozhin yeshiva and it got reopened. And now instead of one yeshiva, there is 11 ones. All the best yeshivot in Europe open as results of the Russians closing Volozhin for refusing to teach Russian in school. They didn't want to teach Russian. Why? They didn't want their student to know the language of the goyim that's around them, because it promotes assimilation. Like this, I have nothing to do with you. It's like you have a Chinese here, doesn't speak one word in English. You cannot have an intimacy with him or relationship. You're American, and he's a Chinese, doesn't speak one word in English. Even if you like the way he looks, or you know, you follow the way he behaves, you're not going to be able to develop any relationship with a person doesn't understand one word from you. Very difficult. So that will be like a guard between you and losing your eternity, not knowing the language of the place. Some people disagree. You live here, you need to know the language, you need to make a living, you have to go to certain authorities. It's logic in both sides. I'm not coming to say who's right, who's wrong, but I'm just telling you history. In Volozhin, they refused. And what happened in the end? They opened 10 yeshivot instead, in different cities, and they got reopened. And all these big rabbis from the other yeshivot, those are the ones who came to America and established the Torah world and went to Israel and opened yeshivot. Why? When you follow Hashem and you don't do calculations, what's better? I know better than Hashem. Hashem said, don't do this and this and that, but I have a better way. I'm going to do it my way. It's going to be even better than what Hashem wanted. This is the way of the Yetzer Hara. So now, even someone you hate, or you know he hates you, pray to Hashem that he will do tshuva and follow Hashem. Pray. Why do you care? Pray to Hashem. Why it's important? First, maybe your prayers will make this Rasha Tzaddik and will make Hashem happy. There's one less Jew that is wicked in the world. So you have a share in it. It's like you made him Baal Tshuva. Second, if he will not change and he will still be wicked and die wicked, it will still benefit you. Why? Because when you will stand in a trial in front of Hashem, and the Satan will show all your sins, your defense lawyer, the angel who protects you, will come and object and say, excuse me, you're all hating him for this and for this and for that. He had people that hated him, and what did he do in return? Prayed for them, that they should be righteous and succeed. How can you punish such a person? That's going to ease the judgment on you in the time to come. There is another bad happiness. Remember, so far we only speak about negative happiness. Fake one. Simcha psula. Fake simcha. Listen carefully. Yesh od simcha v'schok ra me'od. Very bad. Laughing, happy. כגון מי שמשחק במי שזהיר בעבודת השם, יתברך ומקיים מצוותיו. It's a common thing today. One of the signs before Mashiach come, the Gemara say, יראי חטא ימאסו. People who fear sins, they don't want to take a risk of committing a sin or go to a place that it's not kosher, immediately people hate them. One of the way to see it today is, when you tell someone, I'm not going to the wedding of our cousin. Why? It's your cousin. Yes, but he's marrying mixed dancing. It's against Hashem. I cannot be there. What? You're crazy? You're fanatic? Your rabbi drove you crazy? What, a brainwash? Give me his number. I'm going to call him myself. You're breaking the family. That's how the wicked people talk. So what does it say over here? When you see someone is really righteous, it bothers you. Then you know you're wicked. If you're happy, when you see a tzaddik, wow, you admire him. How do you know if you're in the right direction or not? Even if you yourself is a loser, you're a loser. You're not reaching the minimum level in Avodat Hashem. But one positive thing you can say about yourself only in one condition. When you see someone else that is very successful in learning, he became a big Talmid Chacham, he knows everything. Or he became very big Tzaddik. Or everyone goes to the bar to drink. Kosher bar, Rabbi, kosher. They want to fulfill their desire. So for tonight, you have a kosher stamp. Don't worry. It's good, it's good. And he doesn't want to go. All the guys from the yeshiva went to a place, it's not modest on the street. And he opened the Gemara and he said, I don't want to go. And his friend's getting angry. Oof, we're going to teach this guy a lesson. Who does he think he is? That shows that you don't have Yirat Shamayim. Because if you are real and honest and you have some righteousness in you, inside your heart you should admire him. And come to him, Chazak Baruch, I envy you. I wish I can be like you. Kol HaKavod. Give me bracha, maybe I'll be like you one day. Do you know how much Hashem will have mercy on you if you're like this? But usually that's not how people are. Oof, it drives me crazy, this guy. Why you have to do netila all the way to here? What is it your business? You're paying for the water? No, you're too fanatic. Why you put such a big yarmulke? What is this? It's enough, you put a quarter like me. I know people like this all the time. Half of the emails I get is about these things. Rabbi, my parents go crazy. Why? That I learn Gemara every day, 2 hours. Am I allowed to lie to them and go to learn? Because they go crazy when they find out. This is the generation we live in. Kids want to be righteous and their parents helping the Satan to destroy their own children. If that's not said, what's said? Some of them, they don't understand. They grew up in a communist place. I understand. Listen, everything has an excuse. The question is this excuse will be good enough in the judgment day? In my opinion, almost none of these excuses will be good enough. Also, many of the people say, Ani shogeg. Whatever I did was not on purpose. I deny him. Almost everything is bemezid. Almost all the sins is mezid. It's very easy to say, shogeg, I didn't mean, I didn't know. It's all mezid. Even if you really didn't know, it's because you're not coming to learn. It's also mezid. It's written clearly. If you can come to lectures and learn, or listen online, or come to yeshiva and learn, and you don't come, and then you make sins, which you are not aware that it's a sin, you're going to be punished 100% as you did it on purpose. What do you mean? I didn't know it's a sin. You did not know because you never went to learn. It was all about money and sport and bar mitzvah party and birthday party and all the rest of the 4th of July. Do you know how many people wrote to me in the last 3 days? More than 100 emails if there is a lecture tonight and tomorrow night. Why? You will speak in 4th of July, the Holy Yom Kippur, 4th of July, the day of Passover night, 4th of July, wow. Will you give a lecture on 4th of July? Same emails I get when there is Super Bowl, even worse. Super Bowl. Ma? You give a lecture in Super Bowl? Ay, ay, ay. איפה הידרדרנו? So, when you make fun at righteous people, it's very, very bad in the eyes of Hashem. If you make fun at them loudly, you imitate them. You put the pails in the front like them. You know, some kids put it behind. When one person put it in the front, that means I'm not embarrassed to be a Jew. So they all make fun of him, imitates him. Why? Inside their subconscious, it kills them. That he's a real tzaddik and they know they're all fakers. It kills them. So they cannot bring themselves up or they don't want to try. So they put him down. You understand what's happening here? Az itganu ha-mitzvot be'enav, be'enei ha-shniya. I'll explain. When you make fun of the righteous people, your kids, what's the impression they get? It better not to be too righteous. Look, people make fun of them. So now you sentence your own children to be wicked or partially wicked. You're going to be judged for every sin they do because of that. It's not a joke. Someone that see that you make fun at other people or speak against rabbis in a Shabbos table, oh, if he speaks like this, that means there's nothing important, this one. It's permitted, no problem. Then you lose the little Yirat Shamayim you had. Ki ulai mitoch haschok, because of laughing and joking, imana tzadik mitzitkotav. Another problem. Some of the righteous people, they are embarrassed. Everyone laughs at them. So they lower their level. He goes to the mikveh every morning early, they make fun of him. What happened after a while? He cannot take the criticism, he stopped. He finds an excuse. Why? He's tired of people making fun of him. He speaks strong musar, people make fun. He cannot handle criticism. It makes him weak. Not that many people can do it. So now he stopped. Many thousands of people who actually benefited from that daily, they all go down with him. Who's going to pay for it? The wicked clown on the internet. For all of them. He's responsible. Genocide. Think about it. It can become a genocide. It's all the followers and their children and their grandchildren. It could be thousands of people who went down on a spiritual level because of one wicked clown on the internet who writes comment. כי לא יוכל לסבול הצחוק. He cannot tolerate people laughing at him or criticizing him or calling him names. השלישי, the third problem, כי אנשים רבים אשר לא ניסו ללכת בדרכי השם יתברך לא יוכלו לעשות תשובה מפני השחוק. People that wants to improve, they will think twice now. Why should I be righteous if they're laughing at them? Better I stay what I am. No one laughs at me now. והלכו בחושך כל ימיהם. They will walk in the darkness all their life. ונמצא שזה המשחק לא די שמונע מחברו רוב טוב. הצפון לצדיקים. We find that the person who makes fun at others that are righteous, not only he prevent from other people the heaven that is kept for the righteous people, he prevent them from going there. אלא שמוריד אותו לשאול תחתית. He is responsible for those people to go down deep to the hell, to Gehenom, this wicked person. והנה המשחק הזה בכלל עונש המחתית הרבים. This Rasha, especially those on the internet, or in the newspapers, or on the radio, or on television, any public media, social media, who speaks on Facebook pages, they are considered the worst sinners, מחתיי ערבים. There is חוטא and חוטא ומחתי. חוטא, it's I commit sins between me and Hashem. That's it. I don't influence anyone else to follow me. I made a sin, it's one. Another sin, two. It's me and Hashem, that's it. But if I preach to the public to become sinners and tell them you can do this and you can do that and this one this and make fun of this, and you bring them down in Avodat Hashem, and in the end they all go to Gehenom, you have to be punished for each one of them individually and for yourself. There can be million times more sins goes to your account every day. Million times more. The more followers you have as a wicked person, the more your punishments are growing every day. Now you think, do the math yourself. What's going to be the end of all these clowns who criticize and speak in the internet or demonstrate when they want to bring a kosher speaker to speak, they begin to fight and they don't let, and all these board members who destroy their own synagogue by not letting kosher speaker come and say the truth. They only want clowns and people that tell stories and all kinds of conservative and reform with rotten ideology. That's no problem. Why? Because they like it. They don't have to change. If you bring him, he doesn't tell me to change. He doesn't criticize the way my wife dressed. He doesn't criticize the way people come to shul on Shabbat with a car. Invite him as much as you want. But if somebody say the truth, it kills them. They'll do everything they can for not letting him come. Why? They have words. Extreme, vile, fanatic. If they find words, the Satan has a great vocabulary. Don't worry. He gives them ideas what words to use. In Hebrew, they have a say, the Chilonim. The secular Jews have one mishpat, one sentence. If I could, I would put it in Pirkei Avot. If it was up to me. What is it? Tzochek mi shetzochek acharon. It doesn't matter who laughs right now. In the end, sof davar hakol nishma. In the end, everything will be heard when you stand in front of Hashem. Not now, next year, next 10 years, 20, 30. You cannot run away from the truth. And you accumulate a lot of problems right now. And one day, you're going to have to start paying for them. No one will help the clown. It will be too late to ask for forgiveness. It will be too late. And who say that they will have a forgiveness? Sometimes you make fun of the rabbi and you come to him to ask for mechila and he just doesn't have time to deal with you. He says, okay, and he let you go, but he's not mochel you at all. Very, very angry at you for what you've done. And you move on with your life and one day you die and you have a serious problem now. Why? You have billions of sins now. You never got mechila. And sometimes even if the rabbi will forgive you from the bottom of his heart, or he never even got upset because he has good traits and he's humble or whatever the case is, Hashem won't forgive you. You're not, you didn't insult him. The Torah, it's not his. You insulted me through him. If you insult Bill Gates' son, you criticize him, you make fun at him. It's not because you have something against Bill Gates' son. You have problem against Bill Gates. So you found his kid to be an easy target. Let's make fun at him to hurt his father. If you found a kosher rabbi or speaker or teacher or just a tzaddik that does the right thing, and you killed him and you butcher him and you slaughter him on media, you have something against him? That's the way it looks. But really, from your subconscious, you hate what he says. Because you hate what Hashem says. Because you know that that's what Hashem says in the Torah. But you will do everything you can to modify and make fun. What do you see from here? He may forgive you, but Hashem will never. It's enough that one or two Jews that should have been religious now will not be because of what you did. Do you think Hashem will ever forgive you for such a tragedy? Two families got cut, their children, grandchildren, forever and ever, because of what you did. So if the speaker wants to forgive you, it's one thing. Hashem doesn't. Very difficult. It's not so simple. It's one thing when someone hurt you personally, but it does not affect the souls of the nation of Israel. It doesn't affect them. So he can forgive you, no problem. But if you made a damage to the public, what would it help you if he forgive you? You still have a problem with 1,000 of other victims. Where are you going to find them? How do you know how many people got influenced from your lies in the internet and all the tricks and fake things that you say and all the comments that you make? There's a lot of people brainless. One or two comments, right away they believe. And they fall into that trap, and they don't want to listen anymore. And as a result of that, they'll die Mechalelei Shabbat. And their children and grandchildren. Who's going to pay for all these souls who got lost? The clown has to pay for it, the wicked clown. And it doesn't matter if the speaker forgave him, and they hugged, and they kissed, and they married their children together. The damage that you made to Hashem's children's soul, it's still growing by the day. How are you going to fix it? That's why I tell people never, ever make a comment on the internet. Never. Not even a good one. Don't make a good comment also. Because as soon as you put a good comment about a speaker that you like and is good, immediately all the wicked people get angry and they begin to put tons of Lashon Hara. Better you be quiet. Don't talk. You try to do good, but you bring bad. Because they go crazy. When someone compliments someone who called them Reshaim, they hate him for telling them the truth. And if someone compliments him, they go crazy. And they begin with all their lies and all their, you know. So you came to help him, you actually made him a damage. One more thing. Besides being Machti Arabim, the fourth thing is, דומה לליסטים שעומד על פרשת דרכים וקוצץ רגלי המביאים דורון למלך. It's similar to a gang, robbers, that stand on the path all the way to the palace of the king. And all the people who come with a special gift on the way to the king to give it to him, he stands over there with a big sword and chop their legs off. And they're all stuck there and they never make it to go to the king. That's this kind of person that put righteous people down and criticize good kosher speaker down, and he cannot stand that someone is more righteous than him. This is how Hashem looks at him, as a gangster robber who chops the people's legs on the way to give a gift to Hashem. Imagine how much he accumulates anger by Hashem towards him. So that's the fourth one. Obviously, he's the biggest enemy of the king, of Hashem. The funny part, or the sad, depending how you want to look at that, that some of these people still call themselves religious. They actually think they're religious, but they have such rotten university ideology. Everything they think is the opposite of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Everything. Everything. It's hard to believe how things like this come out of their mouth. You understand? But that's it. That's the way it is. There is another bad happiness, another fake one. Look how many fake joy people have. Fake joy. Kegon rotfei ni'uf vegezel v'shar averot. People who run after delicious sins. Great food, not kosher. Women, not kosher. All kinds of sins that brings the body pleasure. רוטפי ניאוף, גזל, שער עבירות, ושמחים בהשיגם התאוות. Why are you so happy, Moshe? I had the best meal now in Manhattan. This is a rich guy that I'm dealing with. He took me to the steakhouse. I never had such a good meal. You just ate 5 pounds of non-kosher food. Do you understand what you just did? Very happy. Stomach is up to the ceiling, to the chandelier. He ate so much. And what happened? He's happy. What are you happy? You should cry. It's one thing you ate and now you regret. Oh, Hashem, I'm sorry. I don't know. I cannot control my desire. No? Modeh ve'ozev yerucham. Mitbayesh bechetro, mukhalim lo avonotav. No? There is at least one positive thing to say about him. But he's happy. Wow, I'm so happy. Why are you so happy? We're going to Cancun for Pesach, Rabbi. Why are you so happy? We're going to Miami Beach for Pesach. Where are you going to be? Collins Avenue. Right on the beach. Children from Yeshiva, from the terrace, will see naked women 8 days. And his father's going to pay $50,000 for the suite. For the whole family. I'm so happy. What a great time we had. What a great time you had. Do you know what the price will be for it? For this great time? You call it Pesach? Who's going to say the truth? Hard to believe. Sometimes the husband doesn't want to go. Yes, Yirat Shamayim, he learned Torah. The wife, she's home, she's bored. Moshe, let's go, let's go. I'm alone all the time. I'm tired of cooking and cleaning. Take me out for Pesach. And he hears the rabbi say that a person must make his wife happy. And he misjudged what the rabbi meant. Tomorrow she's going to say, go kill my colleague in work for me. If you want to make me happy, kill her. I only wanted to make my wife happy, like the rabbi said. Everybody understand that whatever you hear in a lecture, there's a limit. You have to understand when and what and how and whom. Not everything is black and white. You have to see the situation here. You make your wife happy, of course, help her, learn with her. If you can afford a maid to help her or cleaning lady, why not? She needs a car for a lot, get her a safe car. If she wants nice clothes to be decent, very nice. Holidays, buy her gifts, speak to her, help her in depression. Anything that the husband should do, do. And it will make her very happy. Give her a lot of love, lots of attention. But to make sins for her? I want this and I want this and I want you to take me here. Who gave permission to make sins for your wife? With all due respect to her, she's more important than Hashem. Same thing the other way around. Wives who surrender to the wicked husbands. I want to go here, I want to go there. No, I don't want to go there. It's not good people there. The kids are horrible, they curse. I don't want our children to hear what they speak. Come on, you fanatic, I'm tired of you. You want to go yourself. I'm sorry, I'll be alone in a holiday. I'm not going there. Get in a car, we have to go to my parents. There's a bar mitzvah, it's Shabbat. What do you mean get in a car? One time only. Don't make me problems with my parents. Not allowed to listen to him. I'll divorce you. Okay, you divorce me. The rabbi even said, for Shalom Bayit, you have to listen to me. All of a sudden he became religious. He's using the rabbi. He has a source. The rabbi says such thing that you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbat to make Shalom Bayit. What rabbi can say such nonsense? Mechalel Shabbat is a death penalty. And the soul is cut from eternity when your person dies. The last thing justify it is this. Peace in a family without breaking the boundaries and the laws of Hashem. Yes. Your husband wants to do extra things that is not required by the law. He wants to be extra righteous. Okay, we can negotiate on that. as long as the halacha is kept. But the original law, tomorrow the wife will say, Moshe, you want to make me happy? Get me shrimps. It's 20 years since I ate shrimps. I'm very depressed. I saw it the other day in a restaurant when I walked from work in Manhattan to the subway. Ah, delicious, big, pink shrimps. Get me shrimps. So what is he going to do? Bring shrimps to the house to make her happy? I'm sure we're going to find a speaker that will say, do it. Yeah, I'm sure. For everything you can find today, a stamp. The question is, you want to know the truth or you want to live in a lie? You want to live in a lie? Move to London. Go to Spanish and Portuguese shul. They have Dweck over there. He's going to teach you a lot of truth. The truth of Obama, the truth of the gays, the truth of all the wicked clowns on earth. If that's what you want to be, go there, move to that community. As long as he's there, he's going to teach you a lot of things there. You want to hear the truth? Find communities that the rabbis over there are real and speak and teach Torah and behave like Bnei Torah. And they give their life for the people. That's what you want. That's, if you don't have it in your place, move to another place. It's very important. The soul comes before the body. Time is running out. One more thing. So you're not allowed to be happy from the sins. And there is another bad happiness, fake joy. It's getting drunk, using drugs, being drunk in Bet HaMishteh. And after that comes a lot of problems and sometimes tragedies and depression and sadness and fights and a destruction to the life of a person. Some Jews, they found a new way to be happy on Shabbat. They come to shul, they have kiddush in a shul, they finish bottles of whiskey and arak, they come home already drunk, destroy the Shabbat of their wives. And then they say, Rabbi, I'm very religious. A religious man can be ever drunk in his life, ever. Even on Purim, you're not allowed to lose control. You have to be in a good mood, that's it. Mitbasem. To be drunk, walk on the street like this, take your shirt off, screaming, burping, going to the hospital, to the emergency room with alcohol poisoning. What is this? This is Jews? Shbusha? Even the Muslims won't do it. Someone will do it in the Arab countries, death penalty is going to get. If he will be walking naked on the street drunk. Death penalty they'll give him. Even the Muslims won't agree such thing. Embarrassing the name of Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, the prophet that never gave one prophecy in history. But they're still willing to die for him. If someone will walk like this drunk on the street in the Arab countries, finished. You're insulting the religion. In Judaism, you're allowed to drink alcohol, wine, this, whatever. It makes you happy, no problem. But you're not allowed to lose control, so every person must know his limitation. If you drink one tiny glass, and if you're going to drink the second one, you're going to lose control, you're not allowed to have the second one. Once you're going to have the second one, and you begin to say things and insult people and insult your wife, and behave like a monkey, that's become Chilul Hashem, the worst sin. You know, many of the sins in the Torah, they don't have severe punishment like others. I'll give you an example. If a person makes a tattoo, it's a sin from the Torah. It's like eating pork, basically. You ate pork, one punishment. You made a tattoo, one punishment. If the tattoo is in a place that nobody sees it, besides your husband or your wife, then you only have one sin of making tattoo. That's it. But if it's in a place that everyone sees it, when you walk on the leg, or if you walk with short sleeves and you put it right here, or you're on your neck, every second of your life is the worst sins in Judaism. Chilul Hashem. Everyone sees you, and especially when you become religious, you put yarmulke, and people see tattoos on you, and you go to the mikveh, you go on the street, sometimes you take your children to a kosher pool. Everywhere people see it, for the rest of your life is Chilul Hashem. So the Chilul Hashem is a million times bigger punishment than actual making a tattoo. How many people know about it? No big deal. One time I make tattoo, I'll make tshuva after that. No, my friend. It's chilul Hashem all your life. All your life. So, nobody is allowed to be drunk and to behave like a monkey. And one other thing, oy mashkimei baboker shachar irdofu ma'acharei baneshef yain yadlikem. Oy! That was written 2,600 years ago by the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah. Just like it's today. Maybe he visited Manhattan for a minute. Oy, to those wicked who run after alcohol in the parties at night, that they cannot wake up in the morning and start their Avodat Hashem. Nothing is changing, apparently. 2,600 years ago in Iraq, the land of Saddam, they had nightclubs and bars and people who drink alcohol and dance on the tables. And in the morning, they don't wake up for Shachrit. How can they wake up for Shachrit if they drink the whole bottle? והיה כינור ונבל תוף וחליל ויין משתיהם. They're looking for the violin, for the nevel, for the corpse, for the drums, for the flute, for the wine, for the party. That's their life. Where is Hashem? Enjoy the moment, Rabbi. Don't be so fanatic. ואת פועל Hashem לא יביטו. Soon as they run after the parties, Hashem is out of their life. ומעשה ידיו לא ראו. They cannot even see the supervision of Hashem anymore. All they have in mind, parties. Parties, parties, parties. Why he didn't come to Shiur Torah? Birthday party, next week. Why he didn't come to Shiur Torah? Bar Mitzvah, next week. Why he didn't come to Shiur Torah? Bat Mitzvah. Next week, Super Bowl party. Next week, barbecue party. 52 weeks, twice he came, 50 times he didn't come. Why? Nonsense, shtuyot, for meatball. He sold 2 hours of Torah, 120,000 mitzvot, 2 hours of Torah. Chafetz Chaim did the math. Every Monday we hear from 8 to 10. Sometimes we even steal 10 more minutes. But let's say 2 hours net. I start usually on time, 2 hours. Each hour, 60,000 mitzvot. 2 hours, 120,000 mitzvot, each one of you get if you come on time. Everyone who is late 5 minutes will kill himself in a judgment day for how much he lost. That he could have come at 8 and he came 8:10. I promise you this, guarantee. Not maybe yes, maybe not. You'll kill yourself or for leaving early because you're a little tired. You're gaining right now more than any amount of money. 120,000 mitzvot in a 2 hour speech. But wait a minute. That's just the beginning. Then it goes online, tens of thousands of people watching it. Each one that watch it, you have a share in it also. Why? Because thanks to you attending to the lecture took place. If no one would show up, the speaker come, beautiful shul, empty. Nobody comes. He comes, he sees it's empty, gets back in the car and go. The shiur will not take place. So the shiur took place thanks to every person who showed up. Especially the ones who show up first, that the speaker can start on time. They have more zchut than others who come later. Because the others that come later, with or without them, the shiur would be. The ones who come first, they get all the jackpot. And now, every person that will watch some of the lectures we made here went more than 100,000 views on different channels of YouTube. So imagine the people who come here every week, and they sit here for 2 hours, and it went to another 100,000 Jews, it's another 200,000 hours of Torah goes to your account. You can watch it tomorrow on the internet. Yes, it's only 2 hours, that's it. Here could be 100,000 hours, 200,000 hours, could be a million hours after 20 years. Only Hashem knows how much it can be. Endless reward. It's not that you sit and suffer here. Baruch Hashem is a beautiful place, comfortable chairs, great air condition, wonderful hospitality. The people of this shul, each one of them are nice, angels, always hospitality. They go down to pray mincha arvit for us. It's not comfortable downstairs like here. Here it's much nicer to pray. Nobody made a beep. maybe 30, 40 people go down every Monday to pray. Why? That the shiur can be online. Not every place. Don't take it for granted. Some places they will make fights. Ma? No way. Who do you think he is? Let him start the lecture at 9. One person asked me, maybe we can start 8:30. I said, I have another lecture. If I didn't have another lecture here, then no problem. I would start at 9 even. What's the difference? But in order for me to get there by 10:30, 10:45, otherwise everyone would leave. I have to start at 8. So everyone get a piece of the cake here. People don't understand. I hope what I said now will get to the mind of all the listeners once for all they understand. How important it is to set times for Torah and never to move an inch from it. Not birthday party and not nothing. If a birthday party would cost you $120,000, fine. Would you go? To your brother's wedding, you wouldn't go. If they say to you, tomorrow is your brother's wedding, you go, you're gonna lose $120,000. If you have a friend that you lend him $120,000, and he said to you, if you're going to your brother's wedding tomorrow, I'm not giving you the money on my dead body, you would find an excuse, you won't go. Brother, I'm sick, forgive me, I'm in bed. Why? With all the love to your brother, you don't want to lose all your money. But Torah, cheap, like a pills of the garlic in your eyes. Throw it to the garbage and you don't look back. Why? No respect for Hashem. Disrespect, constant ungratefulness. Constant. So what's going on here? It's one thing when we don't learn Torah is the waste of reward that we're losing. That's one problem, which I just mentioned. The other problem is the consequences of it. Immediately you go down on your spiritual level in Avodat Hashem. Only people who connected to Torah daily going up. As soon as you cut 2, 3, 4 days from listening to lectures, right away you go down. Right away. Mamash, it's unbelievable how it works instantly. 2, 3 lectures you miss, you're done. You're going down almost to zero. You can see the Bachurei Yeshiva when they have 3 weeks off. They learn three and a half months. They are in the highest spiritual level. Their soul is in heaven already. They come back to Queens, Brooklyn, King's Highway, Manhattan, I don't know where, Tel Aviv, on the street. 1 or 2 weeks that they're off. Shht. I know one rabbi, he's saying a speech, and he's not a liar, I know him. Never will say a lie. He say when Ben Azmanim finished, the 3 weeks vacation of the holiday finished, and the guys come back to the yeshiva, all it needs is 1 second to look at him, and I know who learned and who did not learn in a 3 weeks vacation. Immediately I know. And I promise you he's not a liar. He will never say a lie. He's look at a person, immediately he sees the light of Hashem on him or no. Or right away went down. Sometimes you can see by the clothes, by the way he walks, it's a whole different change in him. But even by looking at the face of a person, you can see right away. So we gotta be careful. Drinking, if you know how to drink, drink. You don't know how to drink, don't touch it. If you can't control yourself after you have 1 glass of whiskey or whatever it is, you cannot control yourself, or vodka, immediately stop. If you know that you start one, you cannot stop, don't even touch the one. Think about it, it's like eating pork. Same thing, it's chilul Hashem. I make an embarrassment. You're embarrassing your wife, you're embarrassing your children, your friends are embarrassed, the rabbi is embarrassed, in a party, in a wedding. So, Katav Rabbeinu Moshe HaMaimoni. This book was written hundreds of years ago, 800 years ago approximately. It's the highest level of Musar. It's not just another book. Speaking now about Rambam, Katav Rabbeinu Moshe HaMaimoni, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, Rambam, הקיבוץ על השתייה המשקרת, ראוי שתהיה אצלך יותר חרפה מהתקבץ אנשים ערומים מגולי הערבה. Translation. The gathering of the people to drink alcohol together in a bar, in a party, in a club, in a restaurant, whatever it is, should be a bigger shame in your eyes than naked people gathering together, men and women in the same place. Would you go with your wife without clothes to a place where all the friends decided to come naked into a bar? Forget alcohol, just to sit together there. You would be very embarrassed to go, if you're still a human being. There are people who are much worse than animals. They'll go, they'll do worse things. Forget about this. I'm talking people that are still people. Would you be, for $1 million you wouldn't agree to walk 1 second on the street without clothes. Men, women, doesn't even matter. It's a big embarrassment. So what is this? The Rambam say, gathering to drink alcohol together should be worse in your eyes than gathering men and women naked into one place. The words of the Rambam. I'm reading it to you directly. If you want to know where it is, Orchot Tzadikim, Shara Simcha, page Ein Hey, 75. Right there on the top of the page. והשכרות הוא ממעשה הרעה. Getting drunk is one of the worst things. He destroyed the brain, destroyed the intelligence, the sechel, destroyed the soul that Hashem puts in a person, his spirit. But if you know where to stop, it's no problem. One glass of wine, even two. Some people, they know how to drink. They can drink even 5 glasses and they don't get drunk. They can drink 5 beers. They never say anything stupid. They'll be a little bit in a good mood. They maybe get red, but they'll never... By the way, you should know one thing. What is the point of alcohol? This wine. Chazal say, "Nichnas yain yatsa sod." Wine goes in, secret comes out. What does it mean? Yain in gematria, it's 70. Yud is 10. The second yud is 10. And nun, it's 50. Sod, secret, it's also 70. 70 goes in, 70 goes out. Now, sometimes you see a person, you don't know who he is. You see it, he's quiet in a shul. Now you go and make kiddush after the tefillah on Shabbat morning. He drinks a few glasses. Then the truth comes out. Now, it's very interesting. If a Talmid Chacham, a great Chacham, like Chacham Ovadia, Chacham Ben Zion, they will drink a lot of alcohol until they get drunk. You know, they already bending down, only wisdom will come out of their mouth. Someone that has no Torah, only nonsense come out of his mouth. He begin to talk about his sins and what he did with this woman and what his wife did and this, and he tell people things to insult them. Because everyone, the wine took the truth of him out. So when you're a big chacham, your truth came out. The truth that you hide because you humbled came out because you cannot be humble now. It has to come out. And when you're a fool and all you have is dirty things in your mind, that's what comes out when you become drunk. So by becoming drunk, you actually see what the truth of a person. I once had a rabbi, still Baruch Hashem alive, still in Monsi, Tzaddik Ashkenazi, Rav Rafael Rosenman, that's his name. Unbelievable person. Not once in his life he became even one time angry. I asked him that. One time in your life did you ever get angry? He's such a humble and shy person. So, not allowed to be angry. I said, I know it's not allowed. We get angry every hour. We also know it's not allowed. It's one thing you know it's not allowed. There's another thing if you manage never to do it. One time we went to give him Mishloach Manot from the yeshiva in Purim. Purim people drink, you know. We came to his house. He was there with his son-in-law. We came with the son of a rabbi and me and another 2 guys from the yeshiva. Came, gave him Mishloach Manot. So now after he drank a few bottles of wine, he was laying on his couch on his chair. And you see that he's in a different world. And he said right away to his son-in-law, he will never ever say it in front of us. He's been teaching us for years. So now the truth came out. He said to his son-in-law, I love this Faradim, Ashkenazi. They respect the Chachamim so much. Look how they kiss the hand. They know how to appreciate Chacham. In a million years, he will not say it without the wine. What he was thinking, he'll never say to you. Now the truth came out. Then he said, You can give me any verse you want from the Tanakh, and I give you 2-hour speech on it. The son of the rabbi that was with us, he gave him such a verse out of nowhere from the Tanakh. I don't think there's one person in the world who ever heard about it. Some verse with difficult words from the Navi, Daniel or something. I was sure that's it, he got him. He started to talk and talk and talk. We already started our own conversation with the guy, with the son-in-law and other people who came in. And he's talking, and we left. He's probably talked until the morning. How much Torah came out from him? You never hear one bad word or curse or anything dirty. Why? Because he doesn't have it in his head. Only what's in your head can come out. The truth, who you are, comes out when you drink alcohol. You understand? That's why, since most of us are not in such a high level, bilshon amata, that's why the Rambam says it's worse than to go to a horrible place of the worst, weak, naked people gathered together, gathering to a place when everyone drink and laugh loud and scream. It's worse than actually going to such a place. And mamash, the last few minutes, the wine. Ayayin etz chayim ila, the Torah etz chayim ila machzikim ba. The wine will double the wisdom of the maskil, like I just explained. More wisdom will come out. Ve'yachpil shtut ha'evil, and will double the stupidity of the fool. The wine only double everything, or triple, depending how much you had. Whatever you are, the wine double it. Or triple it. If you're very wise, it will double and triple your wisdom. Like a river. Tons of wisdom will come out. And if you're a fool, Hashem Yirachem, what will come out? As long as a person now is in sorrow and pain, he lost a lot of money, he doesn't have a job, he's upset. It's very hard for him to learn Torah and focus and understand why he has burdens. Just got divorced, his children giving him hard time, all kinds of problems that we have in life. So atzar mevatel kavanat alef batfila. If you're depressed and sad, it takes away your intention when you pray. You cannot focus on the prayer. Gam kshadam sharui betzar, when someone comes to you when you're under stress and pain and your heart is broken and asks you for a favor, you don't have the head for him. You're not in the mood to help him. Why? Because you said, I have my own problems now. How can I even talk about it? You understand? So you can't do it. The Torah says, "Tachat asher lo avata et Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvetuv levav." I'm upset at you, not because you did not follow my Torah, because you did not do it with happiness and good heart. So you have to have a happy heart when you do the mitzvot. Midat ha-simcha tluyat mitzvah aseh. All the positive commandments and obligations in the Torah, the happier you are, the better you will perform. If you're upset and sad, you won't perform well. If you're happy, you will do it with good mood, it will come beautiful. Whether it's chesed, whether it's learning, whether it's giving tzedakah, everything. A person should justify everything bad that happened to him. Thank you, I deserve it, I deserve more, thank you for giving me only this. Never ever to complain. It's written in the Torah, ויידעת עם לבבך, כי כאשר ייסר איש את בנו, כך השם אלוקיך מייסרך. You should know in your heart, the same way a father is strict and punish his son, that's how your God is doing with you. Out of love, not because of torture or revenge. It's mitzvah that a person will think, whatever happened to me, everything turned to the bad, it's for my own good. I know Hashem is doing something good for me. Just need to be patient and to see it. Because a person, before he did tshuva, Hashem was planning to destroy his soul and not giving him his share to the world to come. Now when he became religious, he got his share to the world to come back. So what about all the reward he already got? He has to give it back. He has to pay it back. Why? Because you have eternity coming instead of 20, 30 years. But you already got 10, 20 years of pleasure. And I already gave it to you based on the fact that I'm destroying you and you don't have a share to the world to come. But now when you became religious and you became Shomer Mitzvot, I'm giving you back the eternal world when you die. But what about free things I gave you for 20 years? I got to start taking it back from you. Made of IRS, this. Rabbi, since I became religious, I'm only losing. Very good. That means Hashem gave you back your Olam Haba. What, you want both worlds? Who do you think you are? You make thousands and millions of sins and you want to enjoy both worlds? When are you going to pay for your sins? And all the free gifts that Hashem gave you because he was destroying you from the next world, who's going to give it back? You have to give it back. You got something much better than that. You want both? And someone gave you a silver coin. You're so happy. Wow, silver coin. Then he comes and gives you a diamond. Here, take this instead. Now when he takes the silver coin from you, you cry for a week. What happened, Moshe? Oh, he took the silver coin away from you. Fool, he gave you a diamond, 10 carat diamond. So of course he has to take the silver coin. It was a replacement. No, he wants the diamond and the silver coin. You understand how it works? ומשלם לסונב אל פניו לעבידו. It's written in the end of Parashat Vayetchanan. So Hashem took you back. Now he's cleaning you from all the problems. Then when Hashem hates someone, he pays him in this world. When he loves him, he keeps his reward for the eternal world. So it's all depend on the level of happiness, the simcha, the happiness that a person has every minute of his life. We're not going to be able to finish this topic today because I still have a few more pages about it. I won't be able to finish another half an hour, at least maybe even 40 minutes. So Bezrat Hashem, next week we will continue with happiness, and after that we will have more time. Bezrat Hashem will be able to speak about worry. People that worry. Where does it come from? Being worried about this, worry about that. Rabbi, panic attack, depression, anxiety attack, vibrations, ADD, all these things that people have non-stop. Where does it come from and how can we cure it? Next Monday, 8 o'clock. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.